Hawaii Swings. We talk radio history with Harry B. Sorio Jr., the host of Territorial Airwaves, as he prepares to celebrate the 40th anniversary of the show, the radio show, of vintage music from the 1920s on up. Remember this?
Kicking it all off, here is Alfred Unauna Alohikea's composition, Hano Hano Hanale, featuring Johnny Ka'unohi Pineapple and his native islanders on Territorial Airwaves.
And you can still find Territorial Airwaves online. Harry recalled the early influence of Django Reinhardt and Gypsy Jazz on the show.
I took off from Hawaii. I was in a blues band here, right? And it was called Blues Crew. And this is 66 through 67. And then I took off to go to college in the Bay Area. And while I was there, you know, seeking blues and rock and all that stuff, I encountered this group called Dan Hicks and his Hot Licks. And they were Django Reinhardt inspired. So suddenly, it rocked my world because I thought, oh my God, this is just like the music my dad plays with his old records and all his friends. It's got that same thing, because what I didn't realize is Django had influenced the Hawaiian musicians of the 1930s. And really changed how the whole music was being performed, more of a swing approach. So as soon as I got back, I dove into what my father had and started asking him questions, and that's how Territorial Airwaves was born.
So tell us about your dad, for folks who don't know about your dad in Territorial Airwaves.
Well, he was, my grandfather was remembered as the Dean of Hawaiian Radio, and he was a solicitor, which was the early name for a time salesman, on the very first radio station, KGU. And my father broke in as a personality on the competing station, the only other one in Honolulu, called KGMB. And finally, grandfather persuaded dad to come over and be a personality on KGU, where he would package shows around his son and promote both of them, you know, very clever. And so suddenly dad had the first radio show with his name on it. It was called Going to Town with Harry Sorio on KGU Radio. It was a big deal on Saturday nights, and, you know. So he was the young guy. Grandfather was the older guy. He was personal friends, had a desk next to Marion Maroney, who was the guy who ran and started KGU Radio in the third floor of the advertiser building. So dad picked it up from there, and he did a lot of firsts, like the first remote broadcast, the first call-in on the radio, all these various things using technology of the day and jury-rigging things that really hadn't become common practice yet. And he had a very good career, but then when World War II was about to break out, he secretly started training with the Naval Reserve as a censor. And so when Pearl Harbor Day came, he actually rushed down to Mutual Telephone, now known as Hawaiian Telecom, and went to Mutual and took over the radio long-distance calls. There was two operators, and censored every call, including the one from the president to the governor about martial law, and did all that during the war. And then after the war, he never went back on the air again. He became advertising and sales and management and so forth.
But you must have quite a collection then, if your family goes back to radio.
Yeah, it started with them, and they, of course, had 78 RPM records. And so as soon as I got fascinated, Dad said, well, you know, I have this whole chest that I packed up on December 7th. After he was off, he went to KGU and he packed up his whole desk and everything and all his belongings, put it in a freight box, you know, these large chests, put it in his father's house. And then when he got married to my mother, and we got a house in Einheina eventually, they put it in the garage. And it was there when I got interested in the 70s. And so we opened it up together. It was like a time capsule. And inside, everything from microphones to headphones to acetate records to paper scripts to contracts, photographs, song sheets, song books, on and on and on and on.
Wow.
So I had an instant thing. And luckily, Dad was with me until 1990. And so I was able to ask him questions for 20 years.
And you have all that fabulous music that you still play on air.
Yes, it started with that, and I just kept collecting. And, you know, the 78s became 45s and became 33s. And one of the funny things is when we started with Territorial Airways in 1979 with Skylark on KCCN, we could only play 78s because they were still playing 45s and 33s on the air. It was in the late 70s. And so as the years came by, radio no longer plays the 60s, and they no longer play the 70s, and they no longer play the 80s. So now, Territorial Airways, yes, we do play music from the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, but we also play the 70s and even a touch of the 80s now because it's old music. It's vintage, right?
Hard to believe.
Yeah. No one else is playing it.
And so when you hear, let's say, gypsy jazz, that kind of like tickles your soul, I guess. Oh, it's got your interest going.
It really does. It really influenced me because I was on the mainland, and you know, you get homesick to start with. And we had a couple Hawaii records, Sonny Chillingworth and so forth, and we're listening and missing Hawaii so much. And then I heard this music in this band, and I actually met them. And they had, you know, a buffalo head and brass beds and all kinds of silk shirts. They were wearing silk aloha shirts, all these things they could get in the flea markets in San Francisco. They love nostalgia and old. And I thought, wow, old stuff is cool. And that was the beginning. You know, I couldn't wait to get home and talk to my father.
So what's old is new again.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And so suddenly my father and I, instead of this two-generation gap, because he was old enough to be my grandfather, he was 44 when I was born and I'm the oldest, we suddenly were like brothers because I wanted to know everything about his youth and what he had done and who he knew and what he had gone to and what they had played and what, you know, what was out there. And so I had a 20-year education on anything I could possibly think of asking.
Wow. I'm pretty envious. Because you know? I love that music too. So it's awesome because you have that wonderful family history and you all share the love.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. I talk to people often where I get thanked by the older people saying, thank you so much because when your show plays, people hear it and our grandchildren are asking us about our life. Or the kids will say, wow, we never heard our grandfather or grandmother talk about their life before, but when they heard your show afterwards at dinner, they told us all these stories.
So that's really special.
Very gratifying.
Yeah, it's oral history.
Yeah, yeah, it's stimulating people's stories.
And so tell us, I mean, this is kind of a monumentous year, 40 years, that's pretty impressive.
Yes, June 13th, 1979, I launched with Skylark, and we did 7 years, and then I did 13 years with Keomiki Akui, and both of them have kind of retired, she to the Big Island, he to southwestern United States. And so the last 20 years, I've been a solo act on radio. And through all this time, we managed to do one thing which I think is so important in radio, and I know you can identify with this. I tried to remain relevant, you know, to speak to people of different ages, because when I started, my audience was all elderly people in the 1970s. They were in their 70s. They're all gone now. And there was once an article written about us said, well, too bad about Territorial Airways. When all their audience dies, they'll die.
But not so.
Here we are. We have fans who weren't even born when we started.
And you are going to mark this momentous year, the 40th anniversary, mm-hmm. because you are developing a nonprofit. Tell
yes.
us about that.
Well, my wife, Kilohana, and I decided to put together everything that we have, all the archives that I mentioned earlier, put them all into a large foundation, a nonprofit, and then develop a curriculum and a reference library and so forth so that it could be usable after we're gone. I just celebrated my 70th birthday, so...
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you. Got to look ahead, and, you know, it's a time for reflection, but also to plan ahead, you know. How will this be used? We've tried to influence and help, you know, several generations now in Hawaii discover their past musically and culturally. How will we continue after we're gone? And the best way, we feel, is a nonprofit foundation that can prepare for the eventual transfer to a worthwhile institution that could house it.
So how are you launching this?
We're starting on the evening of June 14th, 2019, at the Monarch Room of the Royal Hawaiian Hotel. We're having a gala event to celebrate the 40th year, which to us is not only that we've achieved 40 years, but also we're equaling and then surpassing the great Hawaii Calls, the kind of the benchmark of Hawaiian radio shows, the longest ever running with Webb Lee Edwards and all of that history for 1935 to 1975, and now will be 1979 to 2019.
So that's incredible.
Yeah, it's kind of exciting. I never dreamed that we could survive this long and as I say, remain relevant. We'll be, of course, having this gala event. We'd love for you to get involved and attend and enjoy the celebration and the music and the festivities. But also, we're setting this up so that, other parts of the community can participate, corporate and as well as individual. And so we'll be giving more information about how folks can participate in this effort to prepare the archives, as we refer to it, for future generations.
And so this night will it be a mix of like live music and
oh yes,
recorded music.
We're going to lean on live.
Oh, live. Okay.
We might play the. There's one record that we always like to play, which is the very first recording that was made in 1946 on a paper tape recorder by my father at the Royal Hawaiian Hotel of Hula Mokulele A by Alvin Kalaiolani Isaacs and his Hawaiians. And when I brought that to Skylark in 78 and we transcribed it and she started playing it on the radio, the response was overwhelming and it eventually resulted in Alvin going back into the studio with his sons and recording their final album. And then we had him on our show once we launched Territorial Airways, and everything took off from there. So that song probably will be celebrated.
Okay, so you're going to have a lot of fun planning this event.
Oh, yeah. So I'm very lucky because my wife, Kumuhula Kilohana Kwaksilv, is really talented at entertaining and conducting parties and so forth, as she has been doing festivals, as you know, in Paris and abroad. So with her at my side, I think we can do a good job.
Okay, it'll be quite the event.
Yes.
I hope to be there.
Well, I look forward to seeing you there.
All right. Thanks so much, Harry.
Mahalo.
That was Territorial Airwaves' Harry B. Sorio Jr. talking about an event he's planning at the Royal Hawaiian Hotel next summer on June 14th to mark the 40th anniversary of the start of the show and the launch of a new nonprofit foundation.